Amen. I so appreciate the opportunity to serve God with you in these last days. Amen. I'm so humbled that we're able to gather. One of the greatest blessings, in my personal opinion, is coming to a church like this. I've preached in big churches, but churches like this, it kind of stirs something in me, and I'm going to share it with you. I looked across the street here, and there's a big old church over there. I don't know if anyone's noticed it, but I did. But I love seeing like a church like that and then coming here. And I'll tell you why, because there is coming a day when we're going to be that big church. I'm not preaching hype. I want to tell you something. I don't preach hype. I don't believe in hype. But what I see is when God begins to build people, amen, what you're a part of is the birthing of something great that God is going to do. And I always hear people say this saying, and it drives me crazy. Those were the good old days. Amen. Back in my day, those were the good old days. Well, listen, I don't believe in the good old days. God will not be outdone by history. The best years of our life are only ahead of us, church. The best years of our church are ahead of us. And I'm here to tell you the best years of your life personally are only ahead, because the God that we serve has such a great thing for you and I, and it's going to be great. I cannot wait, amen, to come, and you guys have a brand new building. I can't wait to see the ministries functioning and come back and to see where God has taken you, amen. Tonight, I want to minister very quickly out of the book of Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1, revivals always cause things to change. Amen. God is dealing with people. God challenges people. God changes lives, gives new perspective. And this week, I really pray that God is giving you a new perspective of not only coming to his house, but a new perspective on life, because what God has for us is something so great. Amen. In these last days. In America, there is a holiday that is coming up on, it's on May 22nd. I don't know if anyone's aware of it. It's BTC Pizza Day. Anyone ever heard of that? BTC Pizza Day. It's Bitcoin Pizza Day. And the reason why they call it Bitcoin Pizza Day was because in 2010, there was a man, I can't say his name, it's too hard, but it says he was 13 years there. He worked at this place. He was a programmer, and he made the first transaction with Bitcoin, and he sold 10,000 Bitcoins for two large Supreme pizzas. And I read this. Someone had forwarded it to me, and it really took my breath. I wonder if you're hungry, would you trade 10,000 bitcoins for a pizza? Well, before you answer that, let me tell you how much that those bitcoins are worth in today's currency. 10,000 bitcoins in today's market are worth $3.8 billion. So that's with a B, billion. So would you buy two large Supreme pizzas for $1 billion? If you will, I want you to lift your hand. Nobody, not one person. Shame on you. I would. But I want you to think of this real quickly. Why will you not purchase two Supreme pizzas for 10,000 Bitcoin? I'm going to tell you why. It's very simple. It's because you could see the beginning of the story, but you could also see how the story ends. If you look at this picture, you would say, you are stupid. Why would you do that? The reason why we could be so critical with decisions is because we could see the beginning and the end. Well, when it comes to our personal lives, it's very hard to make a decision when you can't see what the future holds. Amen. And tonight, I want to minister on a sermon that I've entitled, What's on the Other Side? And out of the book of Isaiah, chapter 1, excuse me, my eyes have been itching today. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19, it says this powerful scripture. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. This scripture here tonight is very powerful because it gives us some insight on how we could be partakers of the good things in God's kingdom. Amen. There are many things that we could read, timelines in God's word, and there are stories of which I want to share with you tonight. There is a man by the name of David who is there. He's a young man. He's rugged. He's tough. And he stands before Goliath, and by faith, he challenges a man of war. And here he is. He gets his slingshot. He shoots the big old giant. The giant falls down. How many would have stood before Goliath and said, "Oh, yeah, I got this"? Well, listen, I'm a man. I would say I would. Why? Because I could see what's on the other side of the story. Can you say amen? There is a man by the name of Daniel. Daniel was there, and he's praying 3 times a day. And the Bible says that there is a decree that goes out that you can't worship or serve any other god. But so they conspire against this young man's life, and Daniel is there. And he says, "I refuse to give in to this. I'm still going to serve God." And the Bible says that he gets thrown into a lion's den. How many would have gave up your faith right there and said, "Well, I guess I can't serve"? Some of us wouldn't have even came to church tonight if for some reason, something like that. But here's Daniel. Listen, I like using Daniel because look what COVID did to us. COVID pushed churches to close down. But Daniel refused, despite what was going on in his life. He said, "I refuse to not serve God." And he goes into this lion's den and God delivers him. How many would have went into the lion's den with him? I would have. Why? Because I wanted to experience those lions and him petting them in the morning. There's a man by 3 men. They were very good friends of Daniel's. Their names are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men walked into a fiery furnace. How many would have liked been in that fiery furnace? I would. They said there were 4 in there. And he said one of them had the appearance to be the Son of God. And they're in there and the furnace is blazing and nothing has happened. I don't know about you, but listen, I would have loved to experience that. And I'm bringing all this to our attention because the reality is we could say, "I would have done it." It's because you could see the outcome. I want to tell you tonight, the first duty of every soul is not to find its freedom, but to find its master. Meaning, you need to figure out who you're going to serve from now into eternity. Amen. Because one of the greatest weapons that you and I have, I'm going to share with you against the strategies of the enemy. Because there is coming a day and a time, whether it be today, tomorrow, that the enemy will attack you. And there are things going to happen in life. When I mean the enemy, I'm talking that there are things that are going to happen. You're going to get sick. You're going to get hurt. Like me, my wife drove her car today and it broke down on the side of the highway. Don't know what happened. Can't figure out what's going on with it. Things happen. But how we respond in the midst of a trial will change the outcome. I promise you. Amen. And here in our text, the Bible says something very interesting in this long verse. It says, if you are willing, I wonder if anyone's willing tonight. I know I am, but listen, if you're not, that's okay. Because at the end of this, I pray that God will turn your heart. It says, if you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Now, I want to bring this to one last story talking about Noah building the ark. Here is Noah building the ark, and he's there, and he's preaching for 120 years as he's building this. Now we know what happens. God flooded the earth, and we see this. He built this ark, and he's preaching, and the Bible says that he is out there telling the people he's building this masterpiece, and the Bible says that he's preaching this whole time. No one believes him, and so this journey was a 120-year journey. Listen, y'all, I told my wife when I proposed to her, I said, listen, I don't want you to say yes to me, that you're going to marry me, because I'm planning on dying at 120. That's when I'm going to die. So if you could handle being with me that long, all right, let's do this, girl. I'm down. And she said yes, so here we are. But here is Noah. He's building this ark. He's preaching for 120 years. How many people would have lost faith in 120 years if not one person got saved? Man, listen, I would have, it's like, God, are you even up there? It could be frustrating when we're praying for loved ones. It could be frustrating when we go through life. And it could be very frustrating experiencing things in life that we go through when God appears to go silent in heaven. I want to share my testimony tonight because I normally wouldn't do this, but I really want to bring a reality to you. When I wasn't saved serving God, I was addicted to drugs. I was addicted to alcohol. I was making a lot of money. I was very violent. I literally felt like I was going crazy. My mom and dad didn't want nothing to do with me. My brother cut me off because he's like, I don't want my nephews to see such a messed up man that you've become. My life is a wreck. I'm surrounded by drugs and alcohol. My friends, they're only around me because they want my money. And listen, I was making some money. And as soon as the money stopped, all my friends left. It was very cool. That's what real friends do. They leave when your money's gone. And so my life is a wreck. I have no education. I'm barely making my bills, and I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do in life. And there came a point where I was tired. Anyone ever been tired? You're tired of your circumstances. You're tired of everything being the same. You're tired of struggling all the time. You're tired of losing sleep. You're tired of fighting with your loved ones. You're tired of being alone. Listen, you're just tired. I was at that spot. And I came to the altar, and I gave my life to Jesus. And when I gave my life to Jesus, something interesting happened to me. It wasn't like any other time. Listen, I grew up in church, y'all. I would come to church, and I would listen to preaching, and I would go to the altar, and I would cry. And I would say, oh, God, I want you to help me. And then I would leave the altar and go straight to my friend's house and start drinking again. And I would do this time and time again. And I did it throughout the years of my crazy life. But nothing ever changed. I wonder, have you ever come to the altar and it feels like nothing ever changes? You could be honest with me tonight. I promise I ain't going to tell no one. Have you ever came to the altar and you pray and you're like, man, they're saying they feel God. I don't feel nothing. Listen, you got to be honest with yourself. Don't lie to yourself. Say, oh, I feel God all the time. I don't feel God all the time. Have you ever came and it seems like the altar is a place of sacrifice? You know what the altar is? In the Bible, the altar is very interesting. The Bible says that the altar is a place of sacrifice, meaning that in the Old Testament before Jesus came, if you wanted your sins to be forgiven, you had to bring a sacrifice, bring it before God, and you would give it to the priest. He would sacrifice it in remission of sins. So there is a process of this if you wanted to be right with God. And so as soon as your sacrifice was given to the Lord and you were forgiven, a minute later, if you lied, that's it. Back to square one, you got to wait another year to bring a sacrifice and pray that in a year you don't die. That is a very rough place to be. And so when they would come to the altar signified a place of, oh, I got to give up this and I got to give up that and this. And many people come to the altar and they feel like it's always a place of sacrifice. Serving God is hard. What do I got to give up to be a Christian? Oh, I can't do this. I can't do that. And the altar becomes a place that we despise. Can I tell you, I've been there even as a pastor. Like, man, God, I don't want to go to the altar. I don't want to come pray to you because you're going to ask me to give up something. Can I tell you, that's only half of what the altar is. You see, the altar was never intended to only be a place where we sacrifice. The Bible says that when the children of Israel entered into the promised land, listen, there was a land that God promised his people, and he said, the Bible says when they entered into the promised land, he charged Joshua and Caleb to build an altar. The altar wasn't supposed to be a place of sacrifice. The altar represented God's faithfulness. So the altar wasn't a place of defeat or sacrifice, but it was a place of victory. That's what the altar is intended. Listen, And it parallels to when Jesus came. When Jesus Christ came, the Bible says that he tore the veil. The altar cracked down the middle. The altar was a sacrifice. But on the other side of that sacrifice, the altar was a victory for you and I. So you and I don't have to go through the things that Jesus went through. All we have to do is say, Lord, I accept your help. I accept your blessings. I believe in you. I trust in you. And I'm going to obey you. Listen, that's how simple it is. Now, this is where the meat and potatoes come. If you're Mexican or Hispanic, this is where the tortillas and the red chili come in. Amen. Our text says, if you're willing and if you're obedient, it says you shall or you will taste the good of the land. Okay, so I want to talk about obedience. Everything that I just mentioned about Joshua and Caleb, everything I mentioned about Noah, David, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, they all had something very deep in common. They had obedience. On the other side of their obedience, there was victory for each and every one of these men. What's on the other side of obedience tonight? Well, you see, we could read about Jesus, the ultimate sacrifice. Jesus was led in the wilderness. He was tempted. Jesus was beaten. He never did anything wrong. He was the most perfect being that has ever walked the planet. And on the other side of his obedience before his heavenly Father, there was forgiveness of sins for you and I. On the other side of Noah's obedience, there was salvation for mankind. On the other side of David's obedience, saying that you're not going to talk about God's people like that or defy my God. And the other side of his obedience was a victory for the children of Israel or God's people. On the other side of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's obedience was a promotion, but also salvation for a nation. Now, I want to bring it to you tonight. I told you about my life, giving my life to Jesus. I didn't know what was on the other side of me simply obeying God. Never knew it. But I want to share something with you. I received a picture from Pastor the other night. Our sister had pink hair. I prayed for her a year ago. And then he showed me another picture of her. And if I would have saw these two people side by side, I would have thought they were sisters because she looks nothing alike like she did. But let me tell you what was on the other side of my obedience, just using someone who's close to you. On the other side of my obedience was a gracious God that said, Adrian, I'm going to use you to touch a church, to change a life. Listen, I don't claim that this is done by me, but I'm going to tell you this. It's because I said yes to God that he chose to use me. On the other side of my obedience, I have three beautiful little girls that love God. My daughter, she's 8 years old, and she's brought two families in a church. She's eight. She witnesses to her friends. She prays for them. She's prayed for her teacher that had cancer, and her teacher came back and told my daughter, hey, I don't have no cancer. It was a miracle. My daughter is eight. You see, on the other side of my little girl's obedience, there are miracles that are happening. On the other side of my obedience, I have a beautiful wife. Listen, my wife lost her dad. It's been 9 years now. She lost her dad at 45 years old. And I was able to support her during that time because of my obedience. My wife's grandfather passed away last week. I was able to be there for my wife and support her and tell her, listen, baby, everything's going to be okay because you're going to see him again. Because I led my wife to Jesus. This morning when my car broke down, I told my wife, listen, God has always been faithful. Because we are obedient, we know that on the other side of our obedience is a loving and a gracious God, a God of provision, a God of miracles, a God who cares, a God who will comfort, a God who will give you peace and love and joy. On the other side of obedience, listen, it is not, amen, a selfish God that wants to take away all your joy. It's not a selfish God that just wants all your money and all your time. Listen, on the other side of obedience is a God that loves you, who has a future for you, and he has a plan. But listen, you don't know what's on the other side. Can I tell you, on the other side of your obedience, there might be a family whose lives will forever be changed because you simply told them, hey, God loves you. My friend got saved. We used to run the streets together. He got saved a year ago. And I didn't, apparently he's been saved about a year and a half. And he got on Google and he typed in my name because we lost contact when I got saved. He wanted to go his way. I said, bro, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to go my way. He typed in my name and he saw this crazy white guy preaching on the internet. And he said, bro, seeing you like that, he says, blew me away because I know who you are. But you see, on the other side of my obedience, his family is now changed. You see, you don't know what's on the other side tonight, folks. You might say, well, it's not that serious, Pastor. It's just not that serious. I want to share you about something, a story about something who's not that serious. You might have heard this history lesson, but I'm going to give it to you again. You can look him up, and I encourage you to read his whole story, but for the sake of time, amen, I'm just going to cut it down, and hopefully it all makes sense. There's a man by the name of Henry Tandy, and he is a World War I veteran. Henry Tandy is the most decorated soldier in history. Listen, there is no one more decorated than this man. And the reason why is he had went on campaigns, and he had, for his bravery, he received medals that are equivalent here in America to the Medal of Honor. He received all kinds of awards. And there was something very interesting that happened to him. And I'll explain how the story came to be. He was at his post, and his orders were, you are to guard this border, and no one who crosses the border is to live. I don't care if it's a man, woman, or child. Anyone who tries to cross, you shoot them and kill them. Those were his orders. Henry Tandy is there and he's looking. He's on post. He's doing his thing. And there is a man who is walking across the border. He's bloody. His bones are broken. There's evidence of him being shot. And he's limping along, covered in blood. Very slowly, so Henry Tandy raises his rifle, and he just holds it on him. And he's watching this man crossing the border. This man comes so close to him that he said he could have shook his hand. This man looks at him, and he simply nods his head, and he keeps on walking, and Henry Tandy's shaking, but he has his gun on this enemy soldier. 20 years later, Henry Tandy, he's received medals. He's lived a great life. His country has taken care of him financially. And he has received medals. He's very wealthy, very well known. And there is a man, we all know him, his name is Hitler. Hitler began to give a story. He said, I can't take all the credit for everything that I've done in my nation. He goes, but what I can tell you is there is a man who allowed me to live almost 20 years ago. He says, I don't know his first name, but I do know his last name. His name is Tandy. He says, I was bloody. I was bruised, shot 3 times. And he says, but for whatever reason, this man didn't pull the trigger. And I want to thank him. If you don't know who Hitler is, 6 million Jews lost their lives because of this man. Well, what's sad about this is Henry Tandy had orders. He says, I want you to hold the line. Anyone who tries to cross, you kill them. Because of Henry Tandy's disobedience, 6 million people lost their lives. Oh, no one's going to know. Look at me. My life is great. Everything is good. My decisions really don't matter. No one's going to know that I let one guy live. No one's going to know. Well, listen, there's a God in heaven who knows. And it's because of Henry Tandy, 6 million people lost their lives. You see, on the other side of obedience, we don't know what's there. There is a God that has something for you, church. Listen, that building across the street, the Bible says if a church is not against you, they're for you. Pray that God blesses that church, that they get a bigger building. They say, hey, we want to offer this building to you free and clear. It sounds crazy. I know it does. But my brother had a church building given to him. It sounds crazy, but listen, God owns everything. Why not pray big prayers? But you see, we can't pray big prayers if we're disobedient before God. God is saying, you want me to be faithful to what you want, but you can't even be obedient to the little things. You see, tonight, just as we are curious on what's on the other side of being obedient, there's still what's on the other side of your disobedience. Is it a broken family, broken finances, a divorced marriage, abused kids? What's on the other side? I don't know about you, but according to our text tonight, it says something very simple. If you're willing to be obedient, if you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. This is a promise that is written in God's word. If you're obedient to my word, you're going to taste the very best of the land that I have for you. Can I tell you something tonight? God challenges us every single day. I want to tell you, I haven't said this in a long time, and God just brought it to me right now. I used to tell every church I preached that we got opportunities to be obedient to God, and I'm going to share them with you. The first opportunity to be obedient to God is, the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of God, meaning we can step into obedience simply by coming to church. Can you say amen? Forsake not. Hey, we're gathered here together. Thank God we're together. Hey, we checked one off. Hey, we're obedient. Then we come into church and there's prayer time. We got to spend time with God. Don't cease in prayer, but pray always in supplication. Don't stop praying when we come to church. Listen, we have an opportunity to be obedient and say, God, I'm going to pray for my enemies. I'm going to pray for my family. There's two opportunities to be obedient. Then the song service starts. We have an opportunity to be obedient in worship. The Bible talks about worship, and worship is more supernatural than you know. I'm just going to share a few with you. Elijah, when he was on top of Mount Carmel, it says the prophets of Baal were there, and they were cutting themselves. How many know what I'm talking about? And Elijah calls down fire from heaven, and after they were judged, the Bible says, he says, now call in the stringed instruments, let us worship that I may prophesy. When we worship, it brings God and gets God involved to where he speaks to God's people on a personal level. We have an opportunity to be obedient in worship. Amen. And then we have an opportunity to listen to the preaching of the word. We have an opportunity to respond to the word at the altar. We all have opportunities to be obedient. And tonight, listen, is no different. Are you going to find out what's on the other side of obedience before God? Are you going to see the miracle that God has for you? Are you going to see his promise? Are you going to see his provision, his healing, his deliverance, his miracle working hand? Or are you going to experience what Henry Tandy experienced? You're going to stand before God one day. He's going to say, listen, because you disobeyed, 6 million Jews lost their lives because of you. What a scary thought. But listen, I'm not in a trying to scare people to do God's will. God loves us enough. He says, listen, I'm not going to force you to do my will because I only want people with me that love me. One of the greatest blessings in this text is he says, you shall. It's a guarantee. If you're obedient to what God says and you say, my life belongs to you, God, I'm just going to be obedient. God isn't asking you to be perfect. Let's get that clear. If you're perfect in here, I want to talk to you. Lift your hand up. I need some wisdom. None of us are perfect. Listen, I tell my wife she's perfect, but I promise you she's not. My daughters, I love them to death. I tell them they're perfect and beautiful, but they're not. They run around with boogers all over their face. But you see, this is the thing. We're not perfect, but this is where obedience comes in and God's mercy and grace. And I'm going to leave it right here. When we're obedient to God, God understands your failures. Jesus understands that you're going to make a mistake. Did you know that? Like, he takes into consideration that you're going to fail, you're going to screw up, you're going to sin. He understands that you're not perfect. And he's the reason why the Bible says his mercy and grace abound is because he knows that you're going to screw up. But he loves us so much. He says, if you're just obedient, you're going to taste the good of the land. I could care less about your sacrifice. He says, because I got something better for you. On the other side of your obedience, there's a loving God who wants to take care of you. It's not about playing church. It's not about coming and just hanging out with a bunch of bros. Listen, it's about seeing your life count in this wicked world, seeing your family blessed, seeing your children make heaven their home, make good choices, and be successful in this day and age. And tonight, listen, I want to encourage you on this last night of revival. I said the best years of this church are ahead of us. And they are, but will you be a part of them? The only way you'll be a part of the best years of this church are if you're obedient to God. And I want to paint a picture. I'm going to use each and every one of you tonight, even y'all, because you're new. I don't care. You're not new to me. Everyone's new here. Our brother, he's a song service leader who knows now he's going to be the director, and he has six musicians and drums up here, and he's training somebody, and his job is to usher in and keeps all the sound people in line. And then our brother here in the back, Gio, he's our security. He has a security team there. And he stands in the back, and he said, hey, sir, what do you got for us? Hey, make sure the three back doors are locked, and make sure you check the Sunday school rooms and the nursery. Make sure our people are safe so that way we can worship. Our brother here, he's going to come in. He's going to be the next youth leader. There's going to be teenagers filling up a room, and him and his wife are going to be teaching little ones how to serve God. They say, listen, we started young, and so can you. God's going to help you. Our precious couple here, they're the ones to beautify the church. They're the ones that are going to do all the lighting and the painting, and they're the ones that are going to make the church look beautiful so when people come in, they don't smell stank. They smell beauty. How many know? You know when, boy, a beautiful church is very important. I'm the janitor of my church, and I love it. I fix everything. But listen, then we got our sister in the back. She's the one that teaches the young ladies how to be keepers of the home. She's the one that teaches young girls, listen, this is how you be affectionate and passionate. This is how you hold a child and you clean the home, and she teaches them how to be a real lady. Our brother Eddie, he's going to take charge of the men. Here come all his little soldiers coming in. Here they all come. All right, man. We got to greet everyone who comes in that door. Open the door for the ladies. Hold the umbrellas when it's raining out there. We're men. Oh, ah! And Pastor and his wife, they're going to be standing in the back greeting all the new converts coming in. He's going to be training young men and young women to replicate what God is doing right now. He said he's going to be able to preach and say, I've been there. And God will build his church one brick at a time. Ain't that right, Pastor? One brick at a time, one stone at a time. And you're going to look back and you're going to say, hey, man, we're the OGs. And you're going to see the young people come in and say, you know what, man, your life might seem messed up and seem impossible. But look, on the other side of our obedience, look what God has done. And tonight, listen, God has so much for you guys. He has so much for you. And you're going to see God move in supernatural ways. Let's bow our heads tonight. I'm preaching my heart.